Formerly Pharmaceuticals Corporation defends the legality of its multi-billion peso pandemic supply contracts with the Philippine government. Malacañang challenges senators to just file cases instead of holding hearings on allegedly anomalous pandemic supply deals. The Philippines' COVID-19 death toll tops 35,000. And government set to release details on the new COVID-19 alert level system. We'll be tapping that with Nabota City Mayor Toby Tiangco. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad to have you with us today. We begin with an update on the resumption of the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee's hearing on government's pandemic spending. Formerly pharmaceutical chairman Hwang Tsu-yen insisting they won the controversial contract with the Philippine government by way of merit. As to alleged connections with former presidential adviser Michael Yang, Hwang says he wasn't the one who approached the former official. See, last week, formally admitted it had to borrow money to finance the pandemic supplies. Yang earlier denied he was involved with formally.
I think we asked Lin Kon to approach Mr. Michael Yang in his personal capacity. So I don't know, maybe that's why he said he doesn't know about a company. But he definitely knows about that. He is helping Mr. Lin Kon Ong for the contract in question. So I don't want to defend him, but the truth is he doesn't know about my personal involvement in this, or whether he knows about the company. That the company is a small startup. We are not affiliated with any government agencies or other private agencies. The shareholders and the corporate officers of the company are true and honest, and no. I believe what we won, I hope that we won the contracts by way of merit, by the price we offer, by the time or delivery schedule that we can offer. No, I don't think really we won it through any form of connections.
Yang skipped today's Senate hearing because, according to his lawyer, his blood pressure shot up. But Blue Ribbon Committee Chairman Senator Richard Gordon asserts Yang should attend the hearing.
He's still under contempt and under an arrest for contempt, and he would have to appear. I think blood pressures go up and down. We're not going to give him a free pass. He can appear. He's not under pressure there. He's in Davao where he's comfortable. He can bring his doctor if he wills, and we want to see him. We cannot wait for people who would always say, you know, that always occurs. When somebody's under investigation, they come in a wheelchair, show their picture, and they cannot appear. Or they're in a hospital bed.
Prior to the start of today's hearing, Malacañang called on senators to just file appropriate cases against those involved in allegedly anomalous pandemic supply deals. In a statement, Executive Secretary Salvador Medialdea accused senators of bullying resource persons in their probe. He adds the Senate is just wasting the time of officials who are supposed to be attending to the latest surge of COVID-19 cases in the country. Senator Risa Ontivero says the Senate will indeed recommend the filing of appropriate charges after they're done with the investigation. She adds senators should not be blamed for the administration's failed pandemic response. Senator Pangilo Lacson, also defending the proceedings, he says they have yet to uncover how much Yang and formally earned from the deal and if they have backers. A procurement specialist believes it's possible formerly pharmaceutical acted as a dummy for former palace advisor Michael Yang. Formerly officials had admitted they borrowed money from Yang to finance the acquisition of billions of pesos worth of medical equipment. Yang also stood as the company's guarantor for Chinese suppliers.
If there was nothing to hide, then why hide? If there was nothing wrong with it, you are in private sector, you had the resources to partner with the bidder, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a purely business transaction. His relationship with the president, to my mind, was incidental. But there should have been disclosure. You see, if it was a purely private transaction, But you see, they hid the they did not disclose that fact. This is where the suspicions come in.
Attorney Zoilo Andin Jr. also says senators need to zero in on Pharmaly's medical supply prices to be able to move this issue forward.
End of the day, as I said, the lapses committed point to possible culpability for Antigraft. Now, how do you establish this? As a matter of fact, you look into the prices prevailing at that time. A reasonable margin, yes, excusable, probably, but not double. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's justifiable to have that level of difference in pricing.
Vice President Lenny Robredo questions how Pharmaly Pharmaceutical was able to bag billions worth of contracts to supply pandemic supplies to the government. Robredo says Pharmaly's contract was even 9 times higher than the budget of her office for this year.
Sino ba yung nadaya dito? Tayo lahat. Kasi galing sa taxes natin yung pinambili. Akala natin nung umpisa, inefficiency lang. Diba? Mahina yung pag-asikaso. Pero ngayon, ano pa ba yung mas lalala na grabe yung lumalabas ka, Elia? Lumalabas na grabe yung korupsyon at a time na nagkakamatayan yung mga tao. Na bakit ganito? Ang dami nagugutom, ang dami nawala ng trabaho, tapos pagkakakitaan nyo.
The vice president also hit presidential spokesperson Harry Roque for lashing out at medical frontliners. She says Roque has no right to bully and disrespect health workers.
And yung mga doktor na nandun, yung kanilang panawagan, ay nire-represent nila yung sektor nila eh. Mm-hmm. Kasi sila yung nangangalaga ng mga may sakit. Sila yung antagal na nagsasakripisyo. Kung ayaw mo makinig ng contrary opinion, eh wag ka na pumunta doon. Parang sinasabi ni Secretary Roque na yung oposisyon daw, gusto mag-fail ang government. Hindi ba kalokohan? Pag nag-fail yung government, pati oposisyon damay. Di ba?
The Philippine Red Cross insists it has faithfully accounted for funds donated by government agencies. It points out these agencies are subject to an annual audit by the Commission on Audit. The PRC adds there have been no adverse findings on any transactions involving government funds given to the PRC. President Rodrigo Duterte has doubled down on his attacks on the PRC, which is headed by Senate Blue Ribbon Committee Chairman Richard Gordon. Duterte threatened to stop government transactions with the group if it refuses to undergo a state audit. Chief Presidential Legal Counsel Salvador Panelo also accused the humanitarian organization of pocketing billions from the conduct of COVID RT-PCR tests. More cases of the Delta COVID-19 variant detected in the Philippines. Of the 640 new cases, 584 were locally acquired, while 52 were returning overseas Filipinos. Health officials also detected 24 additional cases of the Alpha variant and 28 of the Beta strain. Meanwhile, the COVID-19 death toll in the Philippines tops 35,000. That's after 168 new fatalities were reported Sunday. Over 21,000 new cases were reported, down from Saturday's all-time high of over 26,000. The latest surge has pushed the country's ICU bed occupancy rate to an all-time high of 77%. A staffing crisis hits the country's top COVID-19 referral facility. At least 11 of volunteer doctors assigned to the Philippine General Hospital's COVID ward have opted not to renew their contracts. The spokesman of the PGH, Dr. Jonas Del Rosario, says this will make it more difficult for the hospital to increase its bed capacity.
A lot of our healthcare workers are getting sick also. Marami na ring pagod. Some are also exposed to the virus, so some of them have to undergo the mandatory quarantine. So if you take this into account, and a lot of patients are coming in, we're operating on full capacity, talagang na-stretch out yung aming manpower. We have about 320 beds allotted to PGH. We are beyond our capacity. We have about 310 patients in the hospital, about 40 patients in the emergency room waiting to get into the hospital. So that's pretty much 350 out of the 320. So we're like 30 patients above our threshold. And then there are about 200 patients waiting in the wings, wanted to be admitted or waiting to be transferred to PGH. Definitely impossible to get them in.
Del Rosario says the PGH is hiring more residents to fill their manpower gaps. He is now calling on the Department of Health to increase the salaries of healthcare workers amid this pandemic. Government expected to release today the guidelines for Metro Manila's new COVID-19 alert system. It will be pilot tested in the National Capital Region beginning this Thursday, September 16th. Interior Undersecretary Epemaco Densing says all areas in Metro Manila will be first placed under a common alert level. However, former COVID-19 Task Force Advisor Dr. Tony Liachon says now is not the right time to test out a new quarantine system.
I'm not an advocate of lockdown. That's the first one. I hate lockdowns. Okay. Now, ang problem natin timing is off because we are at the highest. Hindi pa tayo nagpipik. Now, pag inopen natin yun at nag-increase ang mobility at dumami ang cases, marami na hospital, marami na hawa sa bahay, that is catastrophic. Kung gusto natin compromise, okay naman sa akin ang granular lockdown with the vaccinated individuals. But be sure, we will provide free testings for this essential workers. I think yun ang win-win.
The Philippine government assures residents in areas that will be placed under granular lockdowns that they will receive aid. The Social Welfare Department says local government units will provide food packs for the first 7 days of quarantine. The national government will provide the assistance for the remaining week. The national government will also shoulder costs in the event of extended lockdowns.
Ito po kasing bago nating quarantine classification, it also entails a new scheme po sa ating pagtulong, or hindi po ito yung katulad ng dati natin na social amelioration program. So ito po yung tinatawag nating special assistance to granular lockdown. Sa ngayon po, ang fund source po ng DSWD para po sa pamamahagi ng food packs ay ang atin pong tinatawag na QRF. Ang atin pong QRF, ito po ay regularly, once na nade-deplete po ito, nag-augment po tayo or humihingi po tayo ng kaukulang augmentation sa DBM.
As a quick look at today's weather, joining us now is Nabota City Mayor Toby Tianco to discuss that new COVID-19 alert level system that's set to be pilot tested in Metro Manila in a few days' time. Mayor, good afternoon to you and thank you for joining us today.
Yes, good afternoon, Carmina.
Right. I'm assuming that you've discussed this extensively with your colleagues and also the IATF. But what are the benefits of this unified alert system, this new alert system that's set to be implemented? To your mind, how will this help you as a local chief executive?
First of all, Carmina, yung last meeting namin was last Tuesday pa, no? It was Tuesday morning. Yun yung umaga prior to the announcement of the cancellation of the GCQ. After that, wala na po kaming meeting, no? So lahat ng balita nababasa lang rin po namin, no? Honestly, ang request ko talaga even during that meeting is just to retain kung ano na lang yung quarantine specification ngayon. Yun na lang ang i-retain. For example, ECQ, MECQ, and GCQ.
Why?
Kasi yung ang problema kasi doon sa GCQ with alert level, mahirap maintindihan eh. Kaya nga nagkagulo-gulo tayo last week, di ba? Because they announced GCQ with alert level 4. So syempre, lahat ng mga tao, ang isip nila, GCQ, pwede na. But GCQ under alert level 4 is equivalent to MECQ. So doon na naman magkakagulo-gulo eh. For example, no, sabihin nila sa September 16, ang Metro Manila ay GCQ with alert level 4. Ang mangyayari nun, it's still MECQ. Ganun na naman. Kung ano yung naging problema last week, yan din na magiging problema kasi isipin ng lahat na GCQ pwede na. Hindi naman tayo nasanay dun sa GCQ with alert levels eh. Lampas isang taon na tayo dito sa GCQ, MECQ, tsaka ECQ. Mas mabuting ito na lang para hindi na magkalituhan. Because what's the use of saying GCQ under alert level 4 kung parehong-pareho rin siya at hindi naman siya magbabago on September 16, diba?
Yeah, which brings me to my question, Mayor. What was the motivation, for the new alert system? Why was there a need for this new system?
Honestly, I don't know. Honestly, I cannot answer you because I really don't know. No, ang alam ko lang is talagang gusto nila mag-GCQ at magkaroon ng mga granular lockdown. Wala naman problema dun eh. Pwede naman ipatupad yung GCQ at magkaroon ng granular lockdown. Kasi lampas isang taon na natin itong pinapatupad, di ba? Every time mag-GCQ, nagkakaroon na, hindi naman naghinto yung granular lockdown eh. Ang nakakalito lang talaga dito is yung with alert level. Kasi aaminin ko, no, hindi lang yung mga ating mga mamamayan na magkakalituhan dito. Pati yung mga enforcer namin, hindi naman sila sanay doon sa ganun eh. So, pati sila mahihirapan dito sa bagay na to. On the other hand, kunyari, ready na yung NCR for GCQ. Kung ready na, no, on September 16. Wala naman maghihinto doon sa granular lockdown. Eh. Tuloy-tuloy natin ginagawa, di ba? Kaya lang dapat maliwanag dito sa ating mga kababayan na yung granular lockdown, okay, bakit ba sinespecify yung granular lockdown? Kasi po, ang talagang layunin nito is lumuag dito sa Metro Manila, mag-GCQ. Hindi naman kasi ang sinasabi is hindi naman dapat MECQ yung buong Metro Manila kasi hindi naman yung buong Metro Manila ang mataas yung kaso. So ang layunin nito is GCQ and then doon sa mga areas na may clustering o matataas yung kaso, yun na lang ang i-lockdown. So ang ibig sabihin po nito, liwanagin natin para maliwanag sa ating mga kababayan, hindi buong syudad ang ila-lockdown. Kung saan lang. For example, isang bahay, mataas yung kaso, ila-lockdown mo yung bahay na yun. Ngayon, magkakatabing bahay, matataas yung kaso, yun lang. At least yung buong syudad nakaka-function normally except yung area na kung saan mataas yung cases. At dati pa naman natin ginagawa ito, di ba? Kaya nga nakakabalita kayo ng street lockdown, barangay lockdown, na nabotas nga, pati yung city hall, ni-lockdown po natin, di ba po? So, kung ganun lang naman, GCQ plus lockdown, madaling maintindihan ng ating mga bayan eh. Ang makakagulo lang talaga dito, honestly, no, is yung GCQ with alert level. So, I hope, sana may chance pa na kung ano lang yung nakagawian dati, yun na lang. But that is only my opinion. I am just one.
Pero Mayor, Mayor, let me ask you this though.
Mm-hmm.
Dati, tuloy-tuloy naman ang usapan nyo, hindi ba?
Sa lockdown po?
Oo. At saka
hindi naman nagsinto po yung lockdown eh.
Oo. Pero bakit yung meeting nyo last Tuesday pa, tapos ganito, merong pilot testing na, and you yourself said you have, you know, sort of misgivings about it. I'm assuming that some mayors in the metro also would have the same misgivings kung hindi man kapareho ng mga misgivings niyo. Pero bakit nahinto ang pag-uusap? Anong nangyari?
Because honestly, naman, we're never part of the voting sa IATF, diba? They only ask our opinion and it's up to them if they will vote on it or if they will take it into consideration or not, no? And even doon sa Metro Manila mayors, I don't know if my stand is the majority stand. No? I'm not sure.
Okay, let me just go back to an earlier point that you made. The goal really here is GCQ. And eventually, no classification at all. That means our economy is healthy enough, you know, for us to be living with the virus. But if that is the goal, will all these classifications really actually help? Or do we really have to go back to testing, isolating, and vaccinating people? That's really the only way, Mayor.
Okay, number one. Wala naman, hindi naman naghinto yung testing eh. Hindi naman naghinto yung testing. In fact, dito sa Navotas, starting noong August 2, 24 hours na yung testing natin. No? August 2 pa yan, nag 24 hours RT-PCR test tayo. At kahit sino, kung sino gusto magpa-test, basta Naboteño, tinatest po natin ng libre. Wala pong bayad. But today, we have to go on 12 hours starting today kasi kahit yung mga staff natin nagpa-positive. Yung contact tracing, wala naman talagang hinto yan. Yung granular lockdown, wala naman talagang hinto yan. Yung vaccination, ang taas na ng vaccination dito sa NCR, no? Sa Navotas, I think it's about 92%. And if it's 92% sa Navotas na naka-first dose and over 60% na yung naka-second dose, I would guess yung buong Metro Manila, ganyan na eh. Diba? Mm-hmm. So, kaya talagang ang layunin dito is makapamuhay na lang normal yung ating mga kababahay. Hindi lang yung pamumuhay, pati yung hanap buhay lang lang normal. Kasi hindi naman talaga kaya ng gobyerno na laging mag-ayuda. At kahit anong ayuda ibigay natin, hindi yan sapat para sa ating mga kababayan.
Yeah, talking about
the goal. Kaya lang yung alert level talagang medyo mahirap maintindihan. Magkakaroon ng hindi pagkakaintindihan ulit katulad ng last time. Di ba last time, in-announce, okay. GCQ, alert level 4. Eh, hindi rin pa pwede lahat. Di ba doon na nagkagulo-gulo?
Here's the thing though. They said that during the first 2 weeks of this new alert system, NCR, we only have one alert system. For the first 2 weeks lang yan, ha? Paano kung after noon? How will you ensure and safeguard the safe mobility of intercity travel, of intercity commute?
Regulating intercity within Metro Manila is almost not possible. Okay. Diba, for example, my boundaries. How do I close my boundaries with my neighbor? Or how do they close their boundaries with us?
Opo.
For example, kami yung mataas yung kaso, isasara. Walang way eh. Unless so, ipapayag tayo na sobra-sobrang traffic, bawat isang sasakyan, i-inspectionin natin. Mahirap talaga gawin yun, Carmina.
So, anong silbi po nung alert system?
I hope sana po matanong doon sa mga advocates ng alert system. No? Because talagang ako, para sa akin, mahirap yan. Yung granular lockdown, we will not stop because lagpas isang taon na natin ginagawa yan eh. What do you think of? Yung layunin na makapamuhay tayo ng normal, okay. Yung ituloy yung granular lockdown, walang issue dyan. Kaya nga granular lockdown, maliliit na lockdown, kung anong lugar lang ang apektado sa isang syudad, kung iskinita lang yan, iskinita lang isara. Kung isang building lang yan, building lang isara. Kung bahay lang isara. Lahat makakapamuhay ng normal. Okay din sa akin yan. So, yun lang medyo makakalito dyan if yung alert level. No? So, sana, kung sino yung may advocacy niyan, sila ang bigyan ng pagkakataon na paliwanag para lahat tayo maintindihan po natin kung ano po yung alitin tunay at layunin ng alert level.
Okay. One other thing that I wanted to talk to you about is the opening of school. Kamusta dyan sa Navotas? And how are you preparing for it? Because, you know, Mayor, ang dami nang nagsasabing mga eksperto, no? Hindi lang dito sa atin, but also in other parts of the world. That really, we're talking about lost years here when you talk about the education of our learners. Lost years that could really affect the productivity of these learners in the future, which will affect our GDP in the future. How are you addressing that as a local chief executive mayor?
Alam mo, Carmina, the concern is not only in the future, it's already now, eh, di ba? Hindi lang sayang yung oras ng bata, talagang hindi talaga normal na nasa loob lang sila ng bahay, eh, no? So sana, para ma-address yan, sana mahanapan natin ng paraan na mapadami yung bakuna, because yung Pfizer, binigyan na ng EUA for 15 to 17, and yung Moderna may EUA na ng 12 to 17 years old, no? Kaya lang, hindi naman pa kami pwede magbakuna kasi wala namang bakuna, no? So I think one more important thing to be explained is this, no? Kasi pag in-announce na gano'n, siyempre yung ating mga magulang, sinasabi, bakunahan na yung aming anak. So tinanong po namin sa DOH, bakit ba ina-announce kung hindi pa po pwede? Napaliwanag naman nila, no? But I think they haven't explained it in media, so ako na magpapaliwanag. Ganito po yan. Ang nangyayari pala dyan is yung Pfizer, sila mismo ang nag-a-apply ng EUA.
Opo.
So yung Moderna, sila rin nag-apply ng EUA. So ibig sabihin lang na napag-aralan ng FDA at napatunayan na safe po sa edad na to. Yun lang po ang ibig sabihin ng approval, no? Pero hindi pa po kami pwede magpabakuna dahil wala kaming hawak ng bakuna at hindi pa tayo binibigyan ng approval. Once po binigyan kami ng approval at once na may bakuna na, based sa meetings namin, lahat ng Metro Manila Mayor willing and ready na bakunahan na yung mga bata. Kasi halos wala na kami binabakunahan dito na adults. Eh. Konti-konti na lang.
Yun na nga eh, parang sinasabi, let's just vaccinate as many people at the soonest possible mm-hmm. time. Kasi that will greatly solve the problem. That will ease the pressure on the healthcare system, right? At marami pang iba. That will, when you vaccinate 12 to 17, once they go out, we travel as a family, hindi po ba yan ang gusto nating mga Pilipino? That could also greatly help the economy. Kasi yung isang meal na binibili mo dati, pag lumabas ang isang buong pamilya, at least those who have been vaccinated, times five ka agad ang mga order, hindi ba?
And during our last meeting last Tuesday, the previous Saturday, sinabi naman ni Secretary Charlie Galvez, it seems may solution siya dyan sa 12 to 17. So since siya ang may solution, sana siya po yung tanongin niyo. Mukhang kaya niya kumuha ng vaccines for the 12 to 17 years old na Moderna.
Pero Mayor, tanungin lang kita ha. Before the ECQ, I remember talking to you then, and I remember we were talking about that the only plan then was to vaccinate and vaccinate and vaccinate during the two-week lockdown. But the supplies didn't come.
What? Can you repeat?
The supplies didn't come. There was a dip in the vaccination.
No, there was a dip in the vaccination. To be fair with the national government, no? There was a dip in the vaccination because wala nang gusto magpabakuna. That is the case in Navotas. Nagbalik ko ako ng 16,000 Moderna vaccines. Kasi wala na eh. Daily, bukas pa yung sites namin. Konting-konti lang pupunta. Doon sa first doses, 200, 300 a day. Halos wala na. And Carmina, di ba, may admittedly there's vaccine preference, no? Alam mo yung Pfizer namin, which we opened to all sectors. Kasi ito yung government-procured Pfizer. So A1, A2, A3, A4, A5. Siguro, 4 na linggo na hindi pa nauubos. So halos wala na talagang pumupunta sa vaccine sites.
Okay.
Kaya lang tumataas yung... Okay, during that period, bumaba. Pero ngayon, tumataas ulit yung numero ng nagpapabakuna kasi ito yung mga second doses na.
I see. I get it.
To be fair, hindi kami naubusan doon. Nagbalik pa nga kami actually ng 16,000 doses ng Moderna kasi hindi na rin namin magagamit at dumating na rin yung AstraZeneca na procured ng local government.
Okay.
Pati yung AstraZeneca na procured ng local government, hindi po nauubos.
I just want to go back to the opening of classes and the state of our learners, in the middle of this pandemic. Mayor, ikaw ba nag-iisip ng magkaroon ng some sort of an assessment for the learners, para makita natin nasaan sila ngayon, what is needed to to sort of catch up on the lost years of their education, Mayor?
Ah, very difficult. I don't have the answer offhand now. And as of last week, we were still preparing for the distant learning. No? Kasi wala pang bakuna. So yun pa rin ang pinapaghandaan natin, yung distant learning pa rin. Pero Secretary Galvez told us na mukhang kaya niya yung Moderna by October for the 12 to 17.
No, but what about
October
the...
October is next month, di ba? October is next month. Yung pag-rollout, wala nang problema dito sa NCR kasi sanay na yung mga Metro Manila mayors. Eh. So once dumating yung bakuna ng 12 to 17, ma-rollout po natin yan ng mabilis. No? So what we're doing now, Carmina, in order to count the 12 to 17, last week, nakikipag-coordinate na kami sa lahat ng schools dito sa Navotas. So binibilang na po namin kung ilan yung 12 to 17 years old based on the school records. So that alam po namin kung ilan yung babakunahan namin na 12 to 17 years.
Apo. Pero yung tanong ko po is more on their education. Kung ano ba talaga ang naging epekto sa kanila nitong lost years during the pandemic?
Yung specific effect, Carmina, I cannot quantify it nor qualify it, no, because walang formal report. Pero definitely may epekto yan. Ang hirap talaga ng distant learning. Hindi lang yung mag-aaral lang hirap doon, pati teacher, lahat hirap doon. So definitely may epekto yan. Kung gaano kalaki epekto, kung ano yung epekto, wala pa pong formal na report na ibinibigay yung DepEd sa akin. So mahirap naman akong magpula tungkol sa bagay.
But do you think that should be one of the priorities of the DepEd to have some sort of a national assessment policy para makita natin kung ano talaga yung epekto nito sa mga learners?
Okay, we have a group that has made an assessment. It's a discussion amongst mayors, no? Pero hindi under their end. I'm not sure if they are doing it right now. But I will ask as soon as we finish our discussion. I will ask our school division superintendent.
Okay, so Mayor, sorry, we ran out of time. We're going to have to leave it at that. Navotas City Mayor Toby Tianco there, once again, joining us here on the program. Maraming salamat po. Take care and you keep safe.
Yes, keep safe po. Keep safe.
Salamat. Appreciate it.
Yes,
we're going to take a break now. Up ahead, protests mark the reopening of a new academic year in Philippine public schools. That story and more when Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with us here on ANC. Daytime Philippines. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Formerly Pharmaceutical Corporation defends the legality of its multi-billion peso pandemic supply contracts with the Philippine government. Malacanang challenges senators to just file cases instead of holding hearings on allegedly anomalous pandemic supply deals. The Philippines' COVID-19 death toll tops 35,000. And government set to release details on the new COVID-19 alert system. Three Philippine archbishops call on Filipinos to speak out against the killings in the country and corruption in government. Over the weekend, Archbishops Marlo Peralta of Nueva Segovia, Socrates Villegas of Lingayen Dagupan, and Ricardo Bacay of Tuguegarao issued a pastoral letter. And in it, they reminded people of their moral duty to stand against the culture of murder, plunder, and lies. They deplored the senseless killings in the country, as well as what they described as governance without vision and shameless corruption. The archbishops also encouraged the youth and first-time voters to register for the 2022 elections. A legal group in the Philippines opposes the nomination of presidential spokesperson Harry Roque to the International Law Commission. Mike Navarro now joins us on the line for more details on this. Mike, what more can you tell us?
Hi, Carmina. The Free Legal Assistance Group is opposing presidential spokesperson Harry Roque's nomination to a United Nations advisory body, calling him unworthy to be considered for the post due to his, quote, lack of integrity and character. Flag officers led by National Chairperson Jose Manuel Chaljocne said in the letter that Mr. Roque does not possess the qualifications for a seat at the commission. While he has degrees in law and has taught public international law, he is a, quote, political partisan who has actively demonstrated contempt for the rule of law and the specific relevance of the commission, and the specific relevance of the commission has undermined the supremacy of human rights and international law. Similar letters were also sent to each of the 190 member states of the UN who will vote on Roque's nomination. Flag specifically wants the ILC to disregard Roque's nomination and remove him from consideration for a seat in the commission. Attached to the letter are some statements Roque publicly made with respect to extrajudicial killings, Duterte's sexist jokes, the International Criminal Court probe, red tagging, and military killings. Among these statements is a statement saying that the president's order to kill against alleged communist rebels was justified. These statements, Flag said, show Roque used his knowledge of international law to undermine the protections that international law provides under a regime of human rights and the rule of law. His motivations, Flag said, are clearly for political gain, as he has not been discreet about his plans to seek elective office. Roque is gunning to be among 8 Asia-Pacific nationals to be part of the 34-member International Law Commission. 11 individuals, including Roque, are nominated. Period for nomination closed in June. ILC is an advisory body to the United Nations whose mandate is to initiate studies and make recommendations for the purpose of encouraging the progressive development of international law and its codification. In its 26-page curriculum that they submitted to the ILC, Roque detailed his education and professional experiences as well as his awards and citations. These include his teaching years at the University of the Philippines College of Law, his advocacy for international law, and his year-long stint at the House of Representatives. Roque also enumerated cases he represented before the Philippine Supreme Court, among which was the petition seeking to compel the transmittal of the signed Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court to the Senate for ratification. Roque is now saying the ICC has no jurisdiction over the Philippines, having withdrawn from the Rome Statute. He also continues to insist the country will not cooperate with any potential ICC probe. Roque also cited more than 8,000 TV and radio appearances and his stint as radio host on DZMM Teleradio. DZMM, along with other ABS-CBN stations, was shut down under the Duterte administration, for which he serves as presidential spokesperson. Aside from Flag, Rights Coalition I Defend has launched an online campaign against Roque's nomination. We are still trying, Carmina, to get Roque's side regarding this issue. Carmina?
Thanks a lot. Mike Navalio there joining us on the line. Take care, Mike. You keep safe. And moving on with the rest of the news this noon, child rights advocates and parents of students staged protests to mark the beginning of a new academic year in the public school system. Our correspondent, Angel Bagawisan, now joins us with details. Angel, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Carmina. All over the Philippines were empty again as they welcomed the start of another school year under the pandemic. But a number of parents and students gathered outside an elementary school in Quezon City on Monday morning to stage a symbolic protest against the continuing distance learning mode being implemented by the Philippines Department of Education. Some of the students, as well as a grandmother, wore school uniforms. These signify their desire for the government to come out with a clear roadmap for a safe and gradual return of face-to-face classes. The Philippines, along with Venezuela, is one of 2 remaining countries worldwide that have not yet implemented on-site classes. Children's rights group Salin Lahi, which is a participant in the protest, said many Filipino families have been struggling to make ends meet to both survive the pandemic and come up with money to buy gadgets and mobile data load for learners. Nancy Roldan, one of the protesters, shared how her 3 grandchildren are having difficulty taking in their lessons via online learning. The group hopes the government would improve its response to the COVID-19 pandemic, saying this is essential in assuring that on-site classes will be safe from the spread of the coronavirus. They're also gathering signatures for a petition to the DepEd, which handles basic education, and the Commission on Higher Education, as well as Congress, to provide additional funds and resources to education workers and learners, as well as health protection and benefits. The petition calls for a genuine academic ease that would adapt the education curriculum to the pandemic and take into consideration the mental health of students.
hirap din kami na lola. Hirap din yung anak ko dahil pareha sila may trabaho, walang trabaho na mag-asawa. Kami po ang nagsusurvive sa kanila. Ngayon, ibibili na lang ng loan, ibibili na lang sa ibabayad sa internet. Wala kami ibabayad na lang po doon. Pambili namin ng pagkain. Halos hindi na namin matugunan. Ang mga bata, hindi talaga natututo dyan sa distance learning.
Yung hindi pagbubukas ng mga paaralan ay isang malinaw na paglabag sa karapatan ng mga bata sa edukasyon. Naniniwala tayo na dapat, kahit nasa gitna na tayo ng pandemya, dapat patuloy na natatamasa ng mga bata yung kanilang karapatan sa edukasyon.
Meanwhile, Carmina, members of the Alliance of Concerned Teachers in the National Capital Region held a separate protest, what they dubbed a sunrise protest, at the Menjola Peace Arch in Manila. The group condemned what it said was the government's neglect and lack of plans for the education sector. They also voiced support for a limited opening of face-to-face classes in low-risk areas of the country. ACT NCR Secretary Ruby Bernardo said many public school teachers have not had rest during the implementation of distance learning for a year now, with some of them getting sick or experiencing burnout. They have also yet to receive overtime pay. The teachers called on the government to provide them subsidies for internet allowances, gadgets, and mobile or module printing. Back to you, Carmina.
Thanks a lot. Anjo Bagawisan there joining us. Keep safe, Anjo. Take care. And moving on, there is no question. Internet connectivity remains a challenge for many teachers and students as classes remain under blended learning system. Ara Perez now joins us with more on this story. Ara, go ahead.
Carmina, some students have adapted to distance learning, but internet access remains a problem. Teacher and mother of five, Melody Reyes, shared they are now more aware of what to do, but there are still lags in internet connection. Her children are using a small room, one uses a laptop and the other a cell phone. In her own class, only 4 out of 20 students were present today. She said maybe her students are still trying to adjust to their schedule or having a hard time connecting to the internet. For her part, teacher Dulia Asis was surprised with her first class because she recorded almost a perfect attendance with 45 out of 50 students present. She said her students must have realized that they have to continue learning amid challenges brought by the pandemic. Meanwhile, it has extended the enrollment period until September 30, which was initially set to end today, the first day of classes. Based on that data, there are 24.6 million enrollees this school year, equivalent to 93.8% of the 26.2 million enrollees last year. Carmina.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ara Perez. They are joining us. Take care, Ara. Keep safe. Over in the U.S., Surgeon General Vivek Murthy says more work remains in the fight against COVID-19, despite America's revamped vaccination strategy. Murthy adds U.S. President Joe Biden will announce new steps to slow the spread of COVID-19 before the U.N. General Assembly meets Tuesday.
We've gotten over 200 million people with one shot of a vaccine. That's 75% of all eligible Americans who've gotten a shot and have some degree of protection. But we're not done yet, because what we see is that because millions of more people are not infected, they're susceptible at moments like this with the Delta variant. How quickly we get to a level where cases are low and stay low really depends on what we do collectively, not just the government, but each of us as private citizens and what universities and schools and businesses do. If we work quickly to get people vaccinated, then we will get there faster.
COVID-19 cases and deaths in the U.S. have been rising sharply due to the more transmissible Delta variant. The country's total caseload is nearing the 41 million mark, while the death toll is at over 659,000. Just over 53% of Americans are fully vaccinated, despite the wide availability of vaccines in the country. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson scraps a plan to introduce vaccine passports following pressure from his own party. But his health minister insists the measure can still be deployed when deemed necessary. More in this report.
The British government's abandoned plans to introduce so-called COVID passports in England and will take steps to end some of its emergency powers that were enacted to fight the pandemic. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson will formally set out on Tuesday his plans to manage the crisis in the winter months. Johnson's under fire from some in his Conservative Party for raising taxes to fix a health and social care crisis. Health Minister Sajid Javid said on Sunday that he did not anticipate more lockdowns and that the COVID vaccine passports would not be introduced in England. Under the plan, people would have had to use the passes to prove their vaccination status to enter some venues such as nightclubs. The government will depend instead on vaccines and testing to defend the public. Javid also told the BBC he was not, quote, anticipating any more lockdowns, but would not take the measure off the table, and that he wanted to end PCR tests for travellers as soon as possible. The Nighttime Industries Association trade body, which represents the nightlife business, welcomed the U-turn. Britain has one of the highest official COVID-19 death tolls in the world, but its vaccination rate is also high. Latest government figures show 80% of adults have had two vaccine doses.
In business, Fitch Solutions sees the political intramurals ahead of the 2022 elections as detrimental to near-term policymaking in the Philippines. The think tank has lowered the country's short-term political risk index score from 64.8 to 64 out of 100 to reflect higher risks of political instability. It says the infighting within the country's ruling party, PDP-Laban, and the potential switching of allegiances in the coming months could disrupt the process of crafting much-needed economic reforms to recover from COVID-19. It adds the PDP-Laban conflict also raises the prospects for opposition bets to win the presidency. Local pump prices set to rise for a third straight week. Gasoline prices will increase by up to 40 centavos per liter. Diesel prices will go up by as much as 35 centavos per liter. A liter of kerosene will also cost 15 centavos more. The adjustment comes as prices in the world oil market recently went up due to supply tightness after Hurricane Ida hit the U.S. In sports, Olympic Filipino vaulter EJ Obiena rewrites Asian pole vault history in the 2021 Golden Roof Challenge in Austria. Obiena bagged the gold in the event after soaring to 5.80 meters, but he did not stop there. He cleared the 5.93 meters on his third and final try, breaking the longstanding Asian record of 5.92 meters set by Igor Potapovich of Kazakhstan in 1992. Just last month, Obiena beat his personal and national record of 5.91 meters during the Paris leg of the Diamond League. Kabamila actor John Arcidia wins Best Actor in the 78th Venice International Film Festival. He won the award for his performance in the movie On the Job, The Missing Eight. The director and producer of the film, Eric Mati, accepted the award on behalf of the actor. In a pre-recorded video, Arcidia thanked the award-giving body for giving him his very first Volpe Cup.
If there's something that I really regret tonight, it's because that I will not be able to kiss my own Volpe Cup. I know that we came from different countries and we have different languages and cultures, and yet I can feel oneness tonight, and I can feel that you understand me and we understand each other. It's just because of the arts of cinema. So thank you so much.
Viewers can catch On the Job, The Missing Eight as a six-part mini-series on HBO Go via Sky. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, a Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Playback this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. And we now go back to the Senate hearing on allegedly anomalous pandemic supply deals, where former Budget Undersecretary Christopher Lau is back on the hot seat.